This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
The Mets versus the Yankees versus the Mets, Queens versus the Bronx. This is the Mecca of baseball, right? This is the capital of baseball, New York City. And here we go. We're going on another ride. We'll see what the Yankees are. We'll see what the Mets are. And we have a radio station in WFAN where all day, every day, you can hear from Mets fans, Yankees fans, hosts that are Mets fans, Yankees fans, people that love baseball. It's not like that in every other city. There are only two other cities where they have two teams, and the rivalries are not like that. Like, in L.A., Shohei Ohtani can go from the Anaheim Angels to the Dodgers, and the Angels fans applaud him and say, thank you, thank you. And they can't wait for him to return to the Big A and say, yeah, Shohei's back. We love you. That's not going down in the boogie down. I guarantee y'all. So we could talk all around it on air about, will they boo Juan Soto? Hell yeah. And last night I was on, I was like, I don't know how I'm going to feel. I don't know how I'm going to feel in May. I don't hate the Mets. These are my Mets. These are my Mets. The Make It Happen Mets. I dubbed them that. When I say I don't know how I'm going to feel, I don't know how I'm going to feel in regards to booing Juan Soto. I don't know how I'm going to feel when he's, at bat or running out on the field. You know, somebody was saying to me, I hope they don't DH him. I'm like, they're not going to hide him. And for all the talk that Yankees fans have about his lack of defense in right field, you play him in Yankee Stadium in right field when he's in Yankee Stadium. That return, I will be sure to be seated somewhere around 103, 105, 203 for that return. But I don't know how I'm going to feel as a fan. I've never booed a Yankee. There's never been a situation. I've been in there. I've heard a lot of y'all boo a lot of different Yankees, from Aaron Judge to DJ LeMahieu to Aaron Hicks to Josh Donaldson to Joey Gallo. But I don't boo the Yankees. I boo the umps. I boo opposing pitchers and opposing players. Juan Soto is now an opposing player. So when I say I don't know how I'm going to feel, will the Yankees give him a tribute video? Will the Yankees, play his hit off Hunter Gaddis? Will they, his homer off Hunter Gaddis? Will the Yankees play some of his highlights as like a thank you to Juan Soto when he comes back? I don't think we need all that. I think if he went elsewhere, maybe. I don't think we need all that. I don't think that's the tone to set. I don't think it's the time for that. they made a tribute video for Aaron Hicks, but Aaron Hicks had played multiple years for the Yankees. He did have that homer off of Verlander and the ALCS, and Yankee fans were mad about that. I'm serious. I'm thinking of somebody that gave a tribute video to. Yankee fans were mad that there was a tribute. Yankee fans booed the tribute video for Aaron Hicks when he came back.
Yeah, there's going to be, if there is a tribute video for Juan Soto, I mean, he deserves it because they don't get to the World Series without him last year, and he had the biggest hit of the playoffs, obviously, in Cleveland. But I do wonder what the Yankee fan reaction, because all these return to videos, Jimmy Butler had one tonight, I believe, he came back to Miami, and all these fans are so triggered by the, you know, return to wherever they were video. I do wonder how Yankee fans are going to react when the Yankees do play thank you, Juan Soto, for bringing us back to relevancy last season.
Come on, yo. See, now you're doing too much, man. And, like, I'm not the type to be like, yo, your mic is cut. Bringing us back to relevancy. Like, no, all Juan Soto just did to the Mets is bring you up to relevancy.
Absolutely. Like, and Mets fans need to accept that. And I do. I certainly know that Juan Soto chose the Mets, and because he chose the Mets are now relevant again. But, like you said earlier, they got to win on the field. The Yankees have to win on the field. All this stuff about off the field, not whatever, that's good for this.
It doesn't matter. We're going to forget about it literally Thursday when the Astros are facing the Mets and the Brewers are facing the Yankees. All of this other stuff is not going to matter. You're going to forget about the beard policy. You're going to forget about the Frank Sinatra song. You're going to forget about all these other things. They don't matter. When we get into the games, and that's why, like low-key, look at the Mets. Like, why do you need so many gimmicks? This is New York. We show up to watch the game. We are entertained by every aspect of the game. We're not bored. You don't need, but you know why you need all the gimmicks? Because you need to draw against the New York Yankees. You're in the same city as the New York Yankees. 888-808-1019. I get it. You know, now you're at the big boy table. You know, Juan Soto says they, you know, they plan to be at the top, or they expect to be at the top. What was the quote that I saw floating around? I think MLB put it out. I'm like, oh my God, come on. I guess Juan Soto is a primetime player. He's going to post. When the lights are brightest, he's going to respond. And that's another thing. When he gets booed in Yankee Stadium, he's going to breathe that in. He's going to use that. But so be it. I'm not giving him a pitch to hit. Let him work his walk or throw at him. Like, I'm not giving him a pitch to hit. Yeah, the quote is, we're expecting to be at the top all the time. Heavy is the head that wears the crown, Mets fans. Like, you understand that now. Like, I talked about there being a target on your back. The Phillies going to want some get back. Because last year, the Phillies were sure that they were going to the World Series. They were the first team to 60 wins. They were the best team in baseball. They were sure. And, you know, the Braves were banged up. And, you know, they'll get some of their guys back. And they remember how that game went. They're going to want some get back against the Mets. So you just got to understand, like, as Yankee fans, we get mad at the Yankees for not expecting everybody's best, knowing that you're going to get everybody's best shot. Everybody's stepping in the ring to knock you out. It don't matter if it's the Washington Nationals. It don't matter if it's the Colorado Rockies. The Cincinnati Reds are coming here on 4th of July weekend to punch you in the face. Like, that's going to be the thing for the Mets. There are going to be teams now that understand, oh, you have Lindor, Soto, Vientos, Alonso, Nimmo, Edwin Diaz, Griffin Canning. Like, yeah, you're going to get everybody's best shot. 888-808-1019. Maybe they'll do a tribute video when Roger signs with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think the Jets play the Steelers this year. Steelers come to Jet Life Stadium, maybe the Jets will do a tribute video for Aaron Rodgers. Rob is in Franklin Square. You got it, Rob.
Hey, Keith, how you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for having me, man. A couple things. Been listening. I called about Aaron Rodgers, but just a quick Met point. I'm kind of sick, a lifelong Mets fan. I'm just kind of sick of the rivalry between the Mets and the Yankees. You know, the Mets have to beat the Braves and the Phillies in our division to make the playoffs. So I'm just ready for the
Juan Soto thing just poured gasoline on it. I honestly think this is something that's going to go on for a long time, not just a one-year thing. And, yes, he only played 1 year for a Yankee. He's not a homegrown Yankee. But I'm in touch with the fans, and I'm not hurt by it. Like, I'm over it. I'm not coping. I'm good. I'm happy with the team that we have, and I'm ready to start the season. But there are fans that are, like, really hurt and bothered by the fact that Juan Soto chose the Mets, left town or left to go across town, and it's going to be something that it doesn't wear off in a year. It might be the whole rest of his contract that there are going to be Yankee fans, young Yankee fans, rooting for him to fail and rooting for the Mets to never win a World Series during this 15 years.
And again, not just about Soto. Mets, Yankees, the uniform, the towns. You know, it's just like, you know, this has been going on for years. I grew up a Mets fan, took a lot of bullets from Yankee fans. But you know what? I just want the season to play out the way it's supposed to be and earn the stripes. There's no competition right now between the towns, you know. I mean, there is, but it's not.
We'll worry
important.
About that in May. Yeah, we got to get out of the starting blocks.
Yeah, earn it. But my main point was really that I'm happy Aaron Rodgers is not going to be a Giant. The Giants have fallen from grace. I've been again Mets fan, Giant fan all my life, and you know the distractions that he brings. You know what? I'm not happy about Russell Wilson, but I'm actually happy it's not Aaron Rodgers. That's my point, really. The guy just brings too much problems, charades. Who knows what he is? I'm sure he was, you know, great in his day. He was. But I'm curious, and I don't really know much about college football. Arch Manning, you know, is this a real thing? Is this something that I'm not saying to lose to get him, but like what's the real impact he could make?
Yeah, thanks for the call, Rob. If he comes out next year in the draft and the Giants are picking top 10, top 5 again, he's in play. Because you could give up everything to go get Arch Manning. The fan base will not care what you give up if you get Arch Manning. Now, let's see the kid play. I mean, we saw him play when Quinn Ewers got hurt this year. What I'll say about Arch Manning is like his running ability. I'm like, none of the Mannings ever ran like that. Maybe Archie, his grandfather, but also he's the son of Cooper Manning, who they said was the most athletic one. Like Archie can boogie. There were some runs that he broke this year. I'm like, what the hell? Obviously, he can throw the ball. Obviously, he can read defenses and has been groomed by the Manning family since he was a child to play quarterback. Let's see him get it done, though. He chose to go play for Sark at Texas, and now it's his time. He's got a ridiculous NIL deal with Red Bull. He's already a multimillionaire. And what I love is the foundation that he has, right? In this transfer portal NIL era, he's been on the bench for 3 years. But he didn't leave. He could have left and played elsewhere. The Manning family said, no, that you made a commitment. That's where you chose to go. Stick it out. Because you know what? It's going to build character. It's going to, you know, why if you can't beat Quinn Ewers out, like, why are you ducking the smoke? He couldn't beat Quinn Ewers out. Now Quinn Ewers, who... If I'm Quinn Ewers, I'm pulling a Carson Beck. I don't know why Quinn Ewers wouldn't try to transfer and go to another school. He's ready for the NFL. And they basically told him, hey, even if you come back, like, it's the Archie Manning show. So let's see. It's just, it's so far down the line. Like, and football is unpredictable as well. He's got to go out there, win games, stay healthy. He's one of the favorites for the Heisman, and Texas is going to be good again. Maybe, like I said, if the Giants do have this toughest strength of schedule, the longest odds for the Super Bowl, and they only win 5 games next year, then, yeah, you're in play for Archie Manning. So why draft Shedeur Sanders this year? Now it's starting to, you know, now we're a little further down the line. When the quarterback room was empty, it's like, you need to draft Shedeur. Now you just put 2 NFL-caliber quarterbacks in that quarterback room where you could take a flyer on a Jalen Milroe in the 3rd round, 4th round. If you really are in love with Jackson Dart, which I don't think they are, they have other issues, you could draft a quarterback in this class. But I think this frees the Giants up to add more talented players to their offense and defense and kick the can down the road. And Shane and Dable have already had so much grace from Mara. I mean, if they win and they're competitive, right? And if you remember Shane cracked me up this year talking about how like they weren't getting blown out, how they were right there. I'm like, man, that's the whole NFL. Like the whole NFL is like look at the Chiefs. All the Chiefs' wins were close one score wins at the end of the games. You're coming out on the losing side. You lose. But hey, whatever. Glass half empty, glass half full. What I'm saying here is now the Giants have a full quarterback room with quarterbacks that have played in the NFL, that have won games in the NFL. I don't see any reason to use the 3rd overall pick on a quarterback, bring in a rookie that's not going to play ahead of these guys when you're in desperation mode trying to win. 888-808-1019. Let's get some of these Yankees and Mets calls in. Wellesley in Connecticut on the fan. Hello.
Hey, What's up, K-Mac? Long time.
Welcome back.
How you been, my friend?
Blessed and highly favored.
All right. Well, listen, first and foremost, I want to just send my regards out to Guardy and his family with his 14-year-old son. That was very devastating to hear. My wife and I have a 15-year-old daughter, you know, and I got to tell you, that's rough. But other than that, I wanted to talk about the season coming up. I am so done with the Juan Soto thing. I wish him the best. You know, I wish the best for him. But listen, we got what we got. Let's go out there. And congratulations on the stands, promotion and opening day. So I'm looking forward to listening to that. But I greatly appreciate it. But I really wanted to call about Guardy and his son and my condolences.
Thanks for the call, Wellesley. Yeah, I got into it last night, and it really got me emotional watching the game. I talked about Girardi, how I had to stop watching the broadcast, and at least, like, I left the TV on, but I picture-in-picture went to March Madness. You know, Joe Girardi talking about Brett Gardner and his family and the loss of their son Miller at 14 years old. Like, he got choked up. He cried on the broadcast, and, like, I'm a young father. My son will be 2 next month. I just can't imagine the pain and the horror. Like, that's hell on earth. I feel so bad for Brett Gardner and his wife and their entire family. But, you know, my message last night was that, you know, God works through all of us, and God works in mysterious ways and his own ways, and a lot of times it doesn't make sense. Like, I watched my mother bury my older brother. I watched my mom lose her firstborn son that she had when she was a teenager. And I watched what that did to her. But I know what it did to me and my sister in a positive way, you know, like that loss. So, like, what I'm saying is, like, you know, it's gloomy, and you're going to grieve and you're going to be hurt. But life goes on. Death is promised to all of us. And you never actually know what God is doing. You know, we don't know what is going to come from this. We don't know what is going to happen to someone else that's affected by this in the positive. And it always seems like there is no positive to take from death. But like I just gave you the example of, you know, I remember sitting with my sister Taylor, and I'm saying, man, everybody's going to look at us. Everybody's going to want to know how we respond to losing our brother, who was 10 and 12 years older than us, helped raise us, who was like a father figure to us. Like, people are going to see if we crumble, if we fail, if we, you know, I remember I gained the most weight I ever gained in my life. I gained like 25, 30 pounds. I was sick. But then I just, like, channeled it. And my sister as well, we both, like, we channeled it and used it as motivation. And then, like, you know, you feel like you have a guardian angel over you, and you just turn into something else once you can harness that grief and turn it into power. So, man, prayers up for Brett Gardner and his family and all the Yankee universe affected by that. It's a terrible story. I don't even want to talk about it. It got me choked up last night. But prayers and condolences to them. And what I'll end with is, you know, man, love on your people, your wife, your husband, your brothers, your sisters, your sons, your daughters. None of this is promised to us. This could be your last hour. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think a lot of us move like everything is granted. Like, this stuff is, like, you know, like, life is fragile, man. So love on your people, work hard, and push forward to try and get to where you want to go with your life, because, you know, that clock is running. We have no idea when it stops. 888-808-1019. Sorry to take us that way, but, you know, Wellesley called about it, and I spoke on it last night, and I had to share that message again a little earlier. Yeah, prayers up for Brett Gardner and his family. Terrible story that we learned about as Yankee fans. And I just, you know, like I said, I hope that people can take that and apply it to their own life and you know, understand that you live one time, and, you know, it's not worth going to bed mad at someone you love or holding a grudge, or, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, that's all I got on it. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the phones, because joining us at 10 o'clock, Ricky Ricardo. Shout out to Ricky. I saw him in here getting ready for the Yankee season, recording some stuff. He's going to tap in with me at 10 p.m. to talk Yanks. So, Mets fans, call in. Defend yourselves. Mets fans, call in. Tell us how you're winning 100 games, how Clay Holmes is winning the Cy Young, how Juan Soto is going to win the MVP, you know, all that good stuff. My guy Mario from Long Beach, always on the Fan.
What's going on? Great show as always, Keith.
Thanks.
You know, listen, the worst thing we could do would be to give him a video tribute. I'm talking about a Soto, right? The guy is completely selfish and disrespectful. And I'll tell you what the disrespectful is. And you mentioned it earlier. No, I mean, this is not an opinion. It's a fact. After you lose a hard series and you have a reporter talking to you, rather than just say, you know, we lost a hard series, I feel really bad. These guys say, oh, I'm on the market for every team now. You know, that's not the time to say that.
Yeah.
That's disrespectful.
Yeah,
the
reports were that players were sobbing. The reports were that the locker room was very emotional. Juan Soto looked perfectly fine. He knew he was one step closer to the money.
Right. He should have just said, you know, this is not the time to say that. I could say that tomorrow or the next day.
Yeah, but you know what? The Yankees almost got swept. So having that extra game gave him an extra couple days to prepare his message. And, you know, he's Boris Korp. So Boris had him ready. Hey, tell them that you're available to all 30 teams. You know, if they ask you anything about the Bleacher Creatures, tell them that that should affect, you know, Hal Steinbrenner and ownership. That doesn't affect me.
Exactly. And it's so egregious, Keith, to say, like, if somebody gave me a huge contract, I would want to buy my own luxury boxes. I would say they're giving me so much money, might as well spend a little on them. I wouldn't say, now you got to give
that's called finessing. He could finesse Steve Cohen. Why not get all that you could get? Like, I always have to mention, a clothing allowance for your mom? You're not rich enough to literally give your mom a credit card and say, buy what you want, mama.
Absolutely. I mean, that's crazy stuff. You know, I mean, you know what it is right now? The boss, he's the employee. He's really the boss. He's not the employee.
And you know what,
boss.
Mario? It hasn't happened
Cohen's
yet.
The employee.
It hasn't happened yet, but now this sets a precedent for anybody else that speaks to the Mets for now and forever to Steve Cohen and David Stearns. So how about those premium seats? How many tickets does Juan Soto get a year for the Clover Club? I need at least 10. How about that suite? You got any suites available? The Mets are selling all these tickets, right? They're not going to have suites available for future players if all of these Mets fans are coming out of the woodworks to come watch Juan Soto now. We'll see. It'll be interesting. Like I said with Pete Alonso, if I'm Pete Alonso, I'm like, where the hell is my suite? Where's my clothing allowance? I want a clothing allowance for my wife and my mom.
Exactly. And the money he got, I mean, is, you know, a fraction of what this guy, you know what I'm saying? So it's like,
yeah, they made Pete sweat it out. They made Pete low key be embarrassed for a little while. And he came back. Hopefully Pete channels that energy and turns into MVP and has a banner year. I'm rooting for that guy.
Absolutely. Do I have 1 second to give you my take on the Giants?
Of course.
Okay, thanks. I think what they should do, like to your point, you know, that now that they got the quarterback, they're not going to go for a quarterback. I don't really think they should, right? Early at least. So now what I would do is I would trade out of number three. Maybe somebody in the teens want number three. So I move down to the teens. I get maybe a third round pick this year and next year's first round from them. Mm-hmm. Now next year when the quarterback Manning is there, now I got the draft capital. I got two number ones. So if I got to move up, say I win a few more games than I thought I would, and I'm doing six.
You're smart.
I got two number ones to move up.
You're thinking.
That's my idea. What do you think?
You could throw that pick, somebody else's pick next year if you're in a situation where you only win five games and you need some draft capital to move up. Also, if you're passing on Shedeur Sanders, someone else isn't. Someone else is very interested in drafting Shedeur Sanders now that you're not, and you take those calls and you figure out who's going to be the highest bidder. Who really wants them? Raiders? Tom Brady and them? Who wants him? You guys want Shedeur Sanders? Well, here's the price.
Well, that's the thing, you know, if they don't take two quarterbacks, one and two, then their third pick is going to be much more valuable to trade down because now you know they're going to get one of the quarterbacks who's going to be on the board, you know, and then they might get more draft capital if both quarterbacks don't go one and two, and that number three Now they got a quarterback, you know?
Yeah, now they got to play the board.
No, wait a minute. They're number seven. Yeah, right. Exactly.
I do have a feeling that it's Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders, because those are two quarterback needy teams. It screams to me the top two quarterbacks in this draft go 1 and 2, like it did last year. But still, even at three, if you're not sold on Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter, as far as like the draft, you're supposed to fill your most important need, right? Or take the best available if you don't fill your most important need. If they don't feel like they need another edge rusher in Abdul Carter, or they don't need a slash, you know, corner slash wide receiver, then trade back and stockpile picks. And like I said, there's going to be somebody that really wants Abdul Carter, somebody that really wants Travis Hunter. Well, what are you willing to pay for them? Thanks for the call, Mario. 888-808-1019. You know, there was somebody who really wanted Juan Soto. It was Steve Cohen. He was not going to be deterred. What are you willing to pay? If you're the richest owner in the sport, what are you willing to pay? What are you willing to give up? Give an inch. The Supreme Court of Soto, they're going to take 100 miles. They have been getting ready for this opportunity for years. What's going on in this Knicks game? Are you paying attention to this? I saw OG got bloodied. Now Jalen Brunson's on the floor talking to the ref. Is he joking with him? Is this some type of authority? Okay, they're joking with him. Either way, Knicks look to be in the clear with this game. I don't want to jinx anything. 110. Was it 110, 82? 110, 92? We'll get to the Knicks later on as well. But yeah, OG's got blood all over his face. He took an elbow to the nose from Spencer Dinwiddie. Then he knocks down the three. And then Jalen Brunson, stepping on the court to talk to the ref. What's that ref's name? That's one of the most famous refs in the game. Tony Brothers. Anyway, I lost my train of thought. Oh, Juan Soto. So with Juan Soto, this is how it is in here. I'm online. I'm on Twitter. People are texting me. I'm watching the Knicks game. I'm taking calls. I'm trying to host a show. But it's fun, right? This is Sports Talk in New York. With Juan Soto, I can't fault the man. I would do the same thing. If I was a batting champ, a home run derby champ, a World Series champ, a perennial all-star that gets to free agency at 26, I'm going to the highest bidder. And for people that think that the Yankees offered him enough, they did. If he wanted to be a Yankee, he didn't. Clearly. I remember when I had John Sterling on. That's the first thing John said. He said, well, clearly he didn't want to be a Yankee because I think $760 million to be a Yankee is enough for anybody that really wanted to be a Yankee. What he wanted was to be the man, the highest paid player in the history of sports, and go to a franchise right here in the greatest city in the world where he has the opportunity to become the all-time great. He has the opportunity for there to be a statue built of him outside of Citi Field. There will never be any statues of anybody outside Yankee Stadium.
Right. I think that the key part, honestly, is that he was never going to be the guy with Judge on the team, right? And that's an objective.
Why not say that? Judge is the captain.
Yeah.
Judge is beloved. He just gave Judge credit as far as he said something along the lines, I got to go pull up the article, about how he liked watching Judge's at bats and he thinks Judge is the best hitter in the game. Instead of talking about all these things, if you want to tap dance around the money, there are other ways to tap dance around the money than to low-key take shots at the Yankees.
I don't think it's low-key. I don't know.
They are low-key shots, though. When you're talking about you don't think the Yankees are going to be good in 6 to 7 years,
saying they're good all the time. Blue doesn't look good on them. That's the same thing.
Yeah, but that's in jest between a manager and a player.
Anyway. And they're all friends.
Yeah,
it's just like NBA players. They're all friends. They know what sells. They all know what sells.
It is wrestling. They know that these things the media runs with and the fans eat it up.
Spencer Jones and Jason Dominguez are all going to be thanking Juan Soto for the rest of their lives for making them way more money.
Oh, yeah. Cole came out and said it. And obviously Cole took as much money as he could from the Yankees. Cole came out straight up and said, this is good for the next players and the next generation. And I don't know when we're going to see somebody get a bigger contract than Juan Soto. It's going to be a long time. Chris is in Sayville on the fan. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Keith. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You got it.
So I called to talk about Juan and the Yankees, but that last Brad Carter call just got me. So when me and my wife started going to Yankee games when we were first dating, I used to turn to her and say, what are you staring at? And she's like, if I'm honest, I'm looking at Brett Garner's butt. she was honest with me. And I couldn't help but laugh. And I was like, yeah, he's a good looking dude. And, you know, so Brett Garner's actually always hold a special place in both of our hearts. And the loss of his son is something that, you know, none of us can ever understand. And it's heartbreaking. And I feel bad for him and his entire family. And just wanted to say that. But
yeah, I'm sure the Yankees are going to, you know, try and do something nice for him. But there's nothing you can do in this physical earth to, you know, make up for that, to help with that.
Absolutely never. But, you know, for my original point with Juan Soto, listen, he was the overall best Yankees playoff player last year. But if you look at his stats overall, he's like a Mark Teixeira, a really good player, but not the best. And I know this, you know, that doesn't make a lot of sense to a lot of people, but his career batting average, his career home runs, his career RBIs, he doesn't justify being the top contract of all time.
Ohtani exists in this modern day baseball. Ohtani should be the highest paid player by far for until he's done.
Ever. It's not even close.
But you know what it is, Chris, and thanks for the call. This was a match made in baseball heaven. The baseball gods put this together where Juan Soto becomes a free agent. And the year that he becomes a free agent, the New York Yankees trade for him. Bam, 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 ah, the 27-time New York Yankees trade for him. So they bring him to New York thinking that they could sway him with the pinstripes, with Monument Park, with Old Timers Day, with the bleacher creatures, with, you know what I'm saying, with, you know, traveling and all the fans that on the road support the Yankees and, you know, the first class, everything that the Yankees provide, thinking that that might sway him to, you know, want to be a Yankee. But there is no swaying a man that was on a mission from day one, that had already turned down $440 million, that had already played for two teams. You know what I'm saying? There's no swaying that guy. That guy was always hitting free agency, and he told you along the way. When he homered in U.S. Cellular, not U.S. Cellular, guaranteed low-rate field, guaranteed rate field. Now they just call it rate field in the south side of Chicago. When he hit that homer, remember he had the three-homer game, and then after in the post game, nobody asked him anything about free agency, but he put out the information. Oh, this is going to look really good going into free agency that I've homered in every major league ballpark. As if he was going to put together some type of sizzle reel of him hitting a home run in every team's ballpark that courted him. I defended him, which I'll defend any Yankee, anyone that wears the laundry that's on my side, on my team. I said, he probably wrote the goal down like that, like get to free agency. Before I get to free agency, I want a homer in all 30 major league ballparks. And it just blurted out. He just said it like that. No, he was showing his true colors. We didn't want to see it, Yankee fans. We didn't want to believe it. Not all of us. Some of us knew. He's for the streets. He can be had. He's going to the highest bidder. And the Yankees have a lot of money. But there is somebody else in town that the baseball gods plopped over there in Queens with billions that had an eye for him. This guy's also represented by Scott Boras. The trifecta of the richest owner in the sport, Scott Boras, the, you know, baseball's Bond villain of super agent, and then Juan Soto, the generational Juan Soto that hits free agency at age 26, already has a World Series ring and all these other accolades that I said. That was like some type of, that was cooked up in a lab somewhere, in a movie somewhere. It was always meant to be. We didn't want to believe it as Yankee fans because we got Juan Soto for one season. Juan Soto was a Yankee. But Juan Soto doesn't make sense for the Yankees. Of course, having the best players, the best talent makes sense. But you have Judge. Just like, honestly, Stanton didn't make sense for the Yankees because you had Judge. Another power-hitting right fielder when you already had one. So what I say to the Yankee fans to help you somewhat get over it, which I can't tell you how to feel. How I feel is like Judge is back in right field in front of the gimmicky Judge's Chambers, which, like, I don't know, nobody I know has ever been like, hey, Keith, you want to sit in the Judge's Chambers? They're selling them now. Good. It's for kids. Kids love Aaron Judge. They want to wear the cloak and the gavel and the wig. Sure. But for a year, Juan Soto was in front of the Judge's Chambers. Judge played center field. He played a good center field until he didn't in the fifth inning. But now he goes back to right field where he's a plus defender, one of the best. The team is stronger in that spot. If Juan Soto is here and the Yankees put that $47.5 million on him, they're not getting Max Fried. They're not getting Max Fried. So when Cole eventually goes down, which Cole was always going down, he went down last year. It was a ticking time bomb. Max Fried is not here if Juan Soto is here. And you can also argue that Cody Bellinger is not here. Paul Goldschmidt is not here. Devin Williams is not here. Yeah, you could also argue that some of them are. But, like, they took that exact number, that $47.5 million, and they applied it to those additions. And here we are. With a team now that is missing the ALCS MVP in Giancarlo Stanton, the 2024 Rookie of the Year in Luis Gil, the 2023 Cy Young winner in Gerrit Cole. But, like, the roster is not completely bare. There's a lot of talent. They're still going to compete. Now, do I think that they're just going to be a juggernaut? No. But I don't need that. I don't need that. Line them up, man. Line them up, man. Put the games on. Let the games begin. Let's see where this goes. Maybe they gotta sneak in like the Mets snuck in last year and made it to the NLCS. Maybe the Yankees got to sneak in and get to the ALCS and get to the World Series. Like, who knows? We don't know. That's why we watch. That's why we bet. That's why by the end of the night, I'll give you some random, like, oh, I think the Orioles are winning the, like, you know, we don't know. That's what's so intriguing about it. That's what's so entertaining about all of it. We have no idea. These guys are competitors. They're going to go out there and compete. And what I'll say about it before we get to the phone at 888-808-1019 is, like, there are Yankees. They didn't play with Juan Soto last year. Speaking of, you know, Bellinger and Goldschmidt and Devin Williams and Max Fried. This is their first year as New York Yankees. They didn't play with Gerrit Cole last year. They didn't play with Stanton last year. They didn't play with Heel last year. This is their time to shine. Are they giving up on the season? Hell no. They're coming in here saying, wait, don't pack it in on us. Give us a chance. Mike is in Elmwood Park, New Jersey on the Fan next. Go for it, Mike.
Yo, Keith, Mikey O, 203, roll call. What's up, brother?
What up, Mike?
Hey, man, I have had something for you. I got a gift for you. It's actually, I'll tell you what it is. It's a Luis Gil. Me and you love Luis Gil. It's a signed autographed rookie card for you. I've been carrying it around for I don't know how many games. But anyway, buddy.
You bring it Thursday?
Yes, I am. Hopefully, yeah. I'll be there. I'll be there right next to Mark.
So. Got it. Yeah, I'll put it in my jacket. I'll see you soon.
Absolutely. So anyway, what do you, honestly, I was the one that got on Tommy before. So you when you came in, you said on your ride in, you said, you know, you heard the yelling and screaming. So yeah, I had to take the wind out of his sails a little bit, but, you know, I do, you know, I think you feel it too, as a Yankee fan, that once that whole Soto sweepstakes thing was over, we, you know what, we started breathing a sigh of relief. You know, because honestly, when you think about it, we always wanted Aaron Judge back in right field. And Juan Soto, you know, we all know, he was horrible out there. He really was.
He left a lot of plays out there, even in the World Series. I'll never forget that ball Gunnar Henderson hit over his head where I'm like, this guy didn't even move.
Well, you know, then again, when you start looking at the amount of money, you know, and to a subpar field, okay, me, you know, he's going to hit 35 home runs, 40.
Mike, you know what it is, too?
I just don't get it.
We have PTSD from mm-hmm. Jacoby Ellsbury.
That's what I said to him. I said to Lugauer today. I said, you know what's going to happen with him? I said, Juan Soto's going to turn into your Jacoby Ellsbury.
Even Stanton. Look at Stanton right now, which Stanton is immune to criticism, but let's talk about it. That contract, and I just spoke on it. it was redundant to bring in Stanton when you already had a big muscle right fielder that hit 50 home. You didn't need to do that, but they did it.
Really, they did it because they didn't
want to go after Bryce Harper and Machado. It was a trade that, we don't need to rehash. But, like, we have scars from those big contracts. I don't think any of us, we all wanted Juan Soto. Juan Soto is great. He helped us get to the World Series. But nobody wanted a 16-year deal.
No, but 2 years before we got Stanton, he hit 54 home runs. You remember?
Of course. I went to Miami. He hit 59. Yes. He was MVP in 2017.
59. And,
I went to see him try and hit 60. He didn't do it. That you know, the pressure got to him in Marlins Park. He didn't get it done.
And that's why we jumped on him, you know, and made that huge, huge thing.
Because it was an evil empire move to put Judge, who should have won MVP that year, but Altuve stole it from him. It was an evil empire move where people are like, what? You're going to have Stanton and Judge in the same lineup, the most prolific power hitters in the game together? But when you think about the amount of money that they took on and what that stopped them from doing, obviously we got to the World Series on the back of Stanton last year. But what I'm saying is, Mike, there are Yankee fans that are like, I didn't even want Max Fried for 8 years. I'm like, 8 years? but I understood. You had to play keep away from the Blue Jays, from the Red Sox. You had to go that 8 years. We are just scarred from these long contracts. Aaron Hicks, 7 years? Why would you give Aaron Hicks 7 years? Like, we don't want these long deals that are going to stop us from signing other free agents in the future.
And ever having a Bobby Bonilla day, you know? Stay away. From ever having that.
We literally never will.
No, but the Kobe Ellsbury thing did hurt us, you know, and it always will. It's a good reminder. But Keith, I'm telling you, I want to end it on a great note. With Tommy, I told him this. I didn't want to really blow the wind out of his sails, but I said, you know, with the Mets, they rhyme with Jets. And for some reason, there's some kind of like powder, like some fairy powder that's sprinkled over them. And that's why they're always going to suck no matter what. So
thanks for the call, Mike. Well, like, I don't think they're always going to suck no matter what. They were the best team in baseball for a good stretch of, you know, June, July, you know, to the even in the postseason. Like, any of us that had watched their run in October, like, they were great. What I say, I don't equate them to the Jets. Because, I mean, the Jets, they're in a postseason drought. The Mets have gone to the postseason here a few times. They've been in a World Series in the last 10 years. What I equate it to is overcoming your own history. Like, these Mets have to completely rebrand. I believe they can. I was saying 2 years ago, this is the end of the LOL Mets. With Steve Cohen, as soon as we heard rumblings of, oh, David Stearns, it's a lock that he's coming here. I'm like, oh, this is the end of the LOL Mets. I don't know if people are ready for that, though. Because with the end of being a joke laughingstock become expectations of winning and getting it done. And when you fall short, like, that's hard to handle. Yankee fans, we're used to everyone pulling up to drink our tears. That's why I told you I don't have any tears for you when Gerrit Cole went down. You're coming to the wrong guy if you think I'm going to hang up a season. I'm too old for that. I don't have many more seasons to waste or punt. And just, this season's cooked. No. But, like, the Mets have to overcome their own history. Just make the postseason back-to-back years. That's step one this year. And then the bar for you is set at the NLCS. You got to get to the NLCS this year. And if you don't, then it's a failure. If you don't, adding Juan Soto, what did it do? Did it help that team get over the hump from last year? No. And I also talked about bringing back more parts from last year's team. Right? You did bring back Jesse Winker. You know what I'm saying? Like, you did bring back some of the relievers, but you brought back Sean Manaea. Jose Iglesias, though, I think he'll be somewhat missed because the fans want to play OMG. We have a drop here on WFAN where Gio's like, they can't play it. Boomer's like, can they play OMG? I said, they can't play it. They can play the song. But they need something else. They need something new. There needs to be a new home run celebration. Yeah, it sounds old. One hit wonder. That's in the past. A new identity for the Mets is going to take shape here. We have no idea what it's going to be. They can't even do the air slap spank in the air.
No, that was
last year's team.
Yeah, this is a totally different team, totally different vibe, with obviously some of the core pieces that returned. You mentioned the bar for the Mets is NLCS. Is the bar for the Yankees winning the World Series because of last year? Now, I know you're going to say that's always the bar every single season, but a realistic...
There is not one Yankee fan that is going to call in WFAN if the Yankees lose in a wild card round and say, you know, despite all the injuries, that was no one's going to do that. Not one Yankee fan is going to be like, well, all things considered, they made it to the wild card. They lost in a... No one. They made it to the DS. No one. It is World Series. This is a drought here.
Yep.
No, there's like the we know what the bar is, but the bar doesn't change for us. The bar has changed for you, my friend.
No, and by the way, I want to. That's why I love this because I'm embracing as a Met fan that the bar is now risen.
It should feel good.
It does, and we can listen. Mets fans and Yankee fans can go back and forth about Wanza. That's fun. That's fan on fan stuff. That's all good. But from a realistic, honest perspective, from a Met fan's point of view, the fact that the bar for the Mets is this high, the fact that Juan Soto even considered the Mets is this high, and that is the change of mindset that Mets fans had. When he agreed to sign with the Mets, I was stunned. Because I had never felt that way from a Mets fan perspective in my life.
Wilpons would have never been in the running.
Wilpons, I am used to the Mets closing down Shea Stadium, losing, and then having a ceremony after they lose the game. Like, this is what happens if Jason Bay, Last Things Millage, Kaz Matsui, on and on and on. And the fact that this has totally flipped in really a short time frame, it has flipped this quickly, that is why, as a Mets fan, the bar should be high, and you should embrace it.
The stakes are high, and that shouldn't scare you. That's what I was saying. Don't get cold feet now. I think I was hearing Sal this morning when I tapped into his show. I think I woke up at like 10:30, started. I'm like, listen to BT and Sal. I'm like, is Sal getting cold feet about this Messi? It's too late now. Soto, you got Soto now. Like, you don't get Soto to underperform, to underdeliver. You don't get Soto to be little brother. I mean, Brandon Nimmo was talking that talk. Brandon Nimmo... I did not watch The Pursuit. I'm not going to watch The Pursuit, but I did see the trailer where Brandon Nimmo's looking at the LED lights. More gimmicks, but whatever. It makes the ballpark a family-friendly experience. Come out to Citi Field. It's more amusement park than ballpark. But Brandon Nimmo's looking at the lights, and he's like, whoa, like this is cool. Like, you know, this is New York. This is what New York should be like with the club lights. And then he talked about, you know, the organization and you're talking about how quick this has happened, and it's happened in the last 5 years of the Cohen era. And he says, we definitely are not afraid to bring the best players and the best staff and the best facilities here now. If it is a matter of what will help the team become better, Steve and Alex are going to be all in on it. So the end goal is always a World Series. And when they win the World Series, and we would love to do it this year, but when they win their World Series, I don't think it's going to be like, okay, that's it. They're going to say, let's go win another one. We're not going to try to be the stepbrother to the Yankees. We're not going to be the second team in New York anymore. We want to be New York's team. We want to command respect for the Mets name. And I think that total buy-in from them has been the biggest difference I've seen. Your owner said, why not win 2 to 4 World Series in the next 10 years? That is the bar. That is where you are. There is no appearances. There is no participation trophies anymore. 888-808-1019. Ricky Ricardo coming up next on The Fan. This is Keith McPherson, your nighttime host. Good to be back. Another 5-hour KM to AM. Stay tuned for the next 2 hours. BRB.